Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. And I am the goddamn Batman.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited, episode 31. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me for the return trip this episode is...
Mike Booth Ninja 81.
Howdy, sir.
Hi, everyone.
Yes, we did not kick him off his own show.
No, I left of my own volition.
Well, I was saying to Steve off-air that... it'd be nice to have you on somewhat more regularly so people don't think that I just came and just stole the spotlight. And because I actually had to correct our super fan, Jeremy Fine. He actually mentions me in the newest iTunes review, and I'm like, dude, it's not my show. I'm just filling in. So I asked him to correct it. He has yet to. If he hasn't yet, it's probably iTunes. They rarely catch up. Yeah, welcome back.
No, it's fine. I went full time at my second job, and stuff got switched around, and I just had to make some changes in order to just maintain my sanity and a little bit of free time, and it's just starting to pay off. So I thought, there was some interesting, we started on. One of the things that Steve and I kind of started with talking about this podcast was with Arkham Origins was one of the hot topics when we started. And, there was some news in that game franchise that came out in the last week. And I thought, I should maybe come back on Alter Geek to talk about that. And luckily you guys didn't talk about it last week, so...
Yeah, well, last week's show, we had plans to do the Transformers stuff and the Batman stuff, and we had also, what else did we record last? Oh, we recorded Bat Book Zero. We recorded a pullback, episode 59.5 of the pullback, and by the time we got to the Transformers stuff, I was like, dude, after this, I can't stay awake.
Well, that, we were both kind of like... this would be a good thing to get Mike back for.
Yeah.
Mainly because I just started shouting off on the internet. In an attempt. actually, that whole thing just kind of fed into my torment of my friend Art Danner for the entire week.
Which was hilarious.
Yeah, I started it started with just me making crazy... Well, what happened was last Tuesday, I made the conscious decision to buy my best friend an Xbox One Titanfall edition because I really enjoyed the game, and I really like playing games with Danner, and I think Danner deserves one. He's a family man, and I find myself with way too much money and not enough sense, according to his wife. last Tuesday, unbeknownst to him, I went and I pre-ordered him a Titanfall bundle. And when I got to the theater that night, that is when I actually had time to watch the Arkham videos. And I just started started reading some of the articles that were out about them, and I started making these wild predictions, and that just fed into me tormenting Danner, making predictions about his life over the next week until he would receive his Titanfall bundle, which he did not know about.
It's not just a bundle, ladies and gentlemen. The Titanfall edition is like a giant 5-ton crate, or at least that's what it looks like in pictures that I've seen.
There's two different things. I think you're thinking about the other one. There is a collector's edition copy of Titanfall, which comes with the statue.
Okay, that's why the box is so big.
Okay, I didn't buy him that. Okay. I bought him the Xbox One edition of Titanfall, which is just a standard edition. It basically, it's just an Xbox One that comes with a digital copy of Titanfall.
Okay.
And that, no, and that's, no, if I was gonna spend $250 on a game, I would spend that on myself. But then again, if anyone's doing the math and has followed off the cuff, I can finally check off my bucket list that I have spent $1,100 to play one game with a friend.
Wow.
So
that's an expensive game.
Yeah, well, you know, my wife thinks I'm crazy. His wife thinks I'm crazy, but you know, he's a good friend. And if I wasn't going to do it, I was going to buy something even more ridiculous that would have irritated my wife even more. So, yeah. You want to talk about awesome. The Batman stuff? Because I haven't done it off the cuff to actually talk about the Batman stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah, actually, we can go ahead and dive right into that since we were going to cover that last week, but a lot more has kind of popped up since then. Mm-hmm. Yes, Batman Arkham Knight. What did you guys think about the trailer that was released?
It was awfully pretty.
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it. I guess I'm not really hung up because I'm not that invested in the game. I mean, I like watching playthroughs of the game and stuff like that, but like, I was really hoping after that little spoof on the VGAs a couple of years ago, I was really hoping it was going to be Arkham World. Can you imagine if the villains took over the entire world?
I'm actually kind of bummed it's not their Golden Age project or Silver Age project that they're working on.
Like the Justice League thing they were kind of talking about.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've already pre-ordered Arkham Knight. It's not what I thought it was going to be. I mean, and I can't really, it's not the game I thought it was going to be. I'm fine with it being a Rocksteady Arkham game. That's fine. It's just not, I'm just like, oh, good, it's more of the same.
Well, for one, the graphics look infinitely better as the games progress.
Well, here's the thing. That wasn't gameplay.
Yeah, that's, I know. It's the video.
I know. Basically, all you're seeing is, you know, it's kind of like when you watch, like, you watch the Pixar movies and you start with Toy Story and you get to, like, Wall-E and you go from, like, stuff that actually looks like toys to stuff that looks photorealistic. You have to look at where, like, video game cutscenes were in, what was it, 2009 compared to where they are now. That's why it looks so good, is because that's, you know, the time that they've had to, you know, to put that together. But that's not indicative of what the game is going to look like at all. It's just, you know, the cutscenes will look really pretty, but that's not what the game will look like at all. Which is, I haven't really seen too many people get that mixed up online, but there are some people out there that thought that was gameplay, and I'm just like, you guys are freaking morons if you think that's gameplay.
Yeah, that's definitely obvious that it's not gameplay. That's definitely just cinematics of it.
But it's cool the stuff that it puts forward in the cinematic and what it kind of sets up. My only issue, and I've said this on Twitter and on Facebook, is that I can't understand why this is post Arkham City, yet the cast in it, the cast of characters look younger than they do in Arkham Origins. I just can't. It just baffles me.
Well, to be fair, one of the characters isn't. Well, yeah, she's in it too. I was gonna say Harley's not in it, but she does look kind of young in that too.
Even Two-Face looks like super young.
I think it's because they got him kind of super realistic in this, at least in this visual. But I don't. He's not in Origins though.
Well, no, but I'm just saying the character models just look younger across the board. Like even Batman looks, he looks as young, if not younger, than he did in Origins.
I kind of agree with that because in City he did look kind of older and chiseled.
So. That's just the thing. I also, one of my also wild predictions is that while they're toting it as, you know, it's the big thing that's going on right now is that it's a Rocksteady game. It's on the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, and the PC, which means it's next gen only, and that is causing some people to go, "Oh, why does this have to be next gen only?" I don't. My crazy ass prediction is that there is going to be a 360 and PS3 version of the game. It's just not being made by Rocksteady.
So they're just going to take the same game and port it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'll have like it. It might not be the exact same game. They might have to do something to it, like cut way back to achieve some stuff. But it's just, and that's just another thing that I've seen happen. Like we were just talking about Titanfall for a second ago, but not only is Titanfall on the Xbox One and the PC, it's also on the 360. It's just nobody's talking about it because it's not being made by the studio that's making it for the Xbox One and the PC. So while they came out the gate and they're like, it's a Rocksteady game and it's on the next gen consoles, and that gets everyone like lathered up and excited. The 360 and the PS3, that is still a user base that is very substantial. So I can see them getting like a half-assed port, so to speak, just to rake in the money.
So basically like Arkham City when it was ported to the Wii U.
Yes. So I can just see that happen. I haven't heard anything. I don't know anything. It's just the market's just too big to ignore that. And that's my crazy ass prediction for that thing.
I really hope that it's correct because I really don't want to buy a game console just to play a game.
Why? I just did it twice.
I don't have the money to. I just upgraded a laptop, so.
He did say that it is on PC, Steve, so yeah. If you have a PC,
I mean,
you can do that.
It's not the same experience to me.
No,
I
know
guess that's
not.
A totally different topic, but
yeah.
I have a wired controller I can lend you, then it'll be the same thing.
True, but I gotta sit in my basement. Whereas I can sit on my couch.
Yeah.
And my big 50-inch TV compared to my 21-inch monitor.
No, that's true.
So it's a huge difference of lounging and looking at it on this gigantic plasma screen compared to this little LCD.
See, that's my crazy-ass prediction about it. The other thing about the game, I guess the biggest mechanic that they're changing is that you'll be able to drive the Batmobile.
Which I love.
I'm indifferent.
I did hear that they're going to try and do skins like they do for Batman. Although if they do, I hope that they give you the benefits of that skin, of that model.
I don't think that's what kind of worries me about that whole thing, is that that's a lot of work to have to, it's not like a skin where you can just, you know, throw a different bat suit on Batman and just kind of keep the same move set. It's like if you have the Batmobile that looks like that, and then you skinned it with like the 89 Batman Batmobile and it still drove the same way, that would be very weird. And I just don't see them taking the time to model each individual one. But if they're making you pay for it, I can see them doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can kind of see that. The other thing that I noticed that they were saying about the new Batmobile that you'll be able to use, because it's not the same one from Arkham Asylum, which they teased that one in Arkham Origins on one of the computer screens in the Batcave.
Mm-hmm.
I just noticed it when I was actually sitting down there looking at it at one point. But this new Batmobile, I guess, is supposed to be kind of like Tumblr-esque in its abilities. I'm kind of indifferent on the looks of it, but
I'm indifferent on the look as well. I mean, part of me just wants to like hate it because I love the Tumblr so much, but I don't know. One of the things I think is kind of neat about it is that you can tap L1 and the Batmobile will come to you no matter where you are.
That's nice.
Like their idea for it is that it's just always lurking around the corner waiting for Batman to call it. So let's see how that works out. But I don't know. It's weird when studios make, because, you know, traversal was such a problem in the Arkham games, right? It's weird when they have this really good mechanic and then they try to add like a driving mechanic. Sometimes I don't know that I've ever seen it work where a game starts out as like, you know, a third person action game, and it's like, oh, let's add driving to it. Like, I just don't, I've never seen a game where that works. And for some reason, the only game that's coming to my mind right now is there is a James Bond game that was on the PlayStation 2. I could be wrong. I think it was Nightfire or something like that.
Yep.
The first person shooter part of it was handled by, well, I don't know, whoever, someone at EA. And then the driving part of it was handled by Criterion, the guys that did the Burnout games. Mm-hmm. So it was like two different studios making one game, but two different parts of the game, and it just didn't work. Because the controls from the first thing to the next were like two completely different sets of controls. Whereas most games that do mix the shooting and the driving, they have similar mechanics for both, so it's not so jarring when you get in a car or when you get back on foot.
So. Now, I will say, I think I could be remembering this wrong. With Nightfire, I had the PC version of that, and I don't know if the driving was in the PC version. If it was, I want to say it was the same controls, at least for the PC version. But again, it's been so long since I've played that game.
See, and I remember just watching my friend play it, but I don't even know if I'm right that it was Nightfire, but it could have been. I never really paid attention to it after it came out. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I'm definitely hoping that the next gen hardware, because my biggest, I think what will make a break a Batman game for me, and this was even before like the first Arkham game came out, is the cape. If they can get the cape to look the right way in a video game, I'm like 90% sold on the game.
Yeah, I did notice the cape tends to kind of do whatever it wants.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really hoping that they, take advantage of the new hardware and make the cape even better. So,
also, they're not having Paul Dini come back to write it.
I was wondering about that. I was going to ask you.
It's going to be, they're still going to be consulting with DC, Jeff Johns.
Okay.
They're not having Paul Dini. They're going to do it in-house.
Okay.
It's going to be Rocksteady in-house. They're going to have the, writing team, the senior script writer, Martin Lancaster, who worked on Crisis and Killzone.
Okay.
Doing the plot, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Sure. I mean, I don't know that Crisis and Killzone have great plots.
I mean, I don't know how this is going to actually turn out.
But then again, Crisis and Killzone, they don't have memorable characters to draw from, so
that's true.
I mean, it's kind of hard to judge. I mean, you're looking at two completely different properties, so it's really hard to make that call. The other prediction I will still stick to is that we'll see another Arkham game next year. So,
well, I'm guessing that because this is Rocksteady's last foray into the,
for now.
Well, to Arkham.
For now.
I'm thinking if they do another game, it'll be that Golden Age or Justice League or whatever, because, with DC or Warner Brothers wanting to make Justice League movies and all that, they'll probably tap Rocksteady.
True.
And then the Origins, they've basically left it open in between Origins and Asylum anyway, like hinting at Man-Bat every time you talk to Alfred in the cave, or the add-on of Mr. Freeze that's coming out soon.
Wow, you really played that game more than I did. I never went back. I never went to the Batcave.
Well, I went to the cave to do the training things.
Oh, see, nope.
Because I like to, I just do the custom ones so that I can go through the different maps and fight guys. It's more so I can keep up my ability. Because if I haven't played in a while, that's usually what I do, so that I can kind of get back into the motions of it quickly.
Okay.
I play a couple of those and then I'm ready to go back into the map. I've beat it 3 times, but I never finished the Riddler in any of the Arkham games because he's too time-consuming and it's a pain in the ass for me, so...
I think I did it in the first one.
in Origins, there's a lot of legwork. It's a lot easier to get to the stuff, but then when you get to his hideout, you're kind of SOL. It locks you out for something else that it doesn't clearly tell you about.
I like the one in I like the stuff in Asylum because it's in your way. It's like just stuff to look for while you're going about your business.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy that a lot better than I do the way City did it. It was a pain in the ass in City too. So it's, I don't know. It's I could kind of take him or leave him, but the rest of it was fine. I did get the chance when Xbox Live was free for the weekend a couple weeks back to play Arkham Origins online.
How'd that go?
On the multiplayer. Actually, it's quite interesting. You either get to play on the Bane team or the Joker team, and they randomly select two players from the game. So it's like a total of like 10 people in this game, and you have four on Joker, four on Bane. And the object is to capture this like post area, and whoever gets to it first, you capture these two relay stations, and whoever gets to this opening first, you get to release, if you're on Joker's team, you release Joker and it swaps your character out and you become Joker. Or if you're on Bane's team, it swaps you out and you become Bane, and two players are randomly selected at the beginning of the round to play Batman and Robin.
Okay.
And they kind of hang above while the guys have guns and shoot and everything, and so you can actually take down guys and swing around and everything else. And it knocks you out or whatever, but it's definitely interesting. Although playing it 20 times in a row, I got bored and I moved on to Transformers War or Fall of Cybertron online.
Yeah, Arkham Knight will not have multiplayer, apparently.
That's fine.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you guys this. DC has recently gone New 52 with their animated films with Justice League War and the upcoming Son of Batman and whatever they do after that. Do you guys think that they'll do New 52 games?
I don't know. I think they are... Well... The Arkham stuff is going to get carried on by Warner Brothers Montreal.
Right.
I just don't know that... It's one of those things where I think anything that gets released on... anything video game-wise that gets released that doesn't have Arkham in the title is not... I mean, that's going to count as a new IP, and it's not going to... It might not sell. It's the Arkham name that's moving stuff off the shelves. I don't know. You might see more, like, New 52 designs... Mm-hmm. In the games, but I don't think you'll see something that specifically says it's like New 52.
Now, I also know that you are not a fan of Conroy returning.
I didn't want to bring that up again.
Yeah, you'll get crucified.
Well, but I get your reasoning for it, is that he doesn't look the part, or sound the part.
Yeah.
Whereas the other guy from the Arkham Origins... He kind of fits the look better.
I think he fits the look better. I would like to see him trying, because like I said, when we were talking about Origins, I thought he did a really good job playing, you know, the rookie dark, you know, the rookie Batman, you know, the new guy. I thought he did a really good job. I would be really interested to see what he could do playing, you know, Batman. So to speak, you know, Batman as everyone knows him to be, versus like the new Batman. So, but that's not gonna happen. So, you know, I'll just have to play it like I played, you know, Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, which is where I just don't pay attention to what he's saying. So, and it'll work out just fine.
Do you think, I know people are having fun pointing speculation at this, even though it's pretty much guaranteed since the last game, but people are actually starting these crazy rumors that the Joker is going to be in it, even though he's dead.
Well, if we want to add to the rumors, I could say that if he is in it, it would probably be a flashback sequence, and it probably wouldn't be Hamill, it'd be Troy Baker again.
Which did a surprisingly fabulous job in Origins. There were very, like, he played the very, like, young green Joker very well, but he also channeled Hamill, like, disturbingly well, so I'd be fine with that.
I've heard that the villain in Arkham Knight is a Batman poser that has an A on his chest, like the Arkham A on his chest.
Really?
Yep.
Could be.
I was hearing Scarecrow.
Well, he's in it. Like, Scarecrow is like the one that they're using. Like, I think he's going to be like one of the bigger, like, that's kind of like the, I don't know. I don't think he's like the villain. I think he's one of the bigger ones that you'll see in the game. But I've heard that it is a Batman-esque, like, poser with an A on his chest. And Anarchy was in Origins.
Correct.
But he didn't come across to me as, I mean, obviously he could eventually become that, but he didn't come across to me as somebody that would become that. But that's what I've heard, is that that's why it's called Arkham Knight, is because there's a guy with the Arkham A on his chest that dresses like Batman.
The other thing I was kind of in City, they brought up, I forget what his name's called, Azrael.
Yeah.
That could be it.
And the Knights of something or whatever that he was a part of.
Oh, that, okay.
So, and he said something about Gotham will burn. And he's like something, the only, like the savior.
I like could Batman be it too. Is
the savior. And then it was like kind of left off. And then the thing with the Scarecrow at the end of Asylum, kind of beginning of City, they kind of or somewhere in City, they had a thing hinting at Scarecrow's return. So I kind of see those as possible avenues.
Well, that makes more sense than a guy just with an A on his chest running around.
But he's this guy's very much like Batman-esque, so
that makes sense.
But
that's all I've got to say about that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, without actually seeing any more on it, I think that's about all that can be said.
Besides, it's
supposed to come out in around the same time all the other Arkham games have.
Yeah, I think it's October
14th
like,
or something.
14th or something like that. I think E3 you'll actually see some gameplay, which will be exciting. So. I think that might be also, too, when they're kind of like, oh, and here's the PS3 360 versions. Just over there. Because that's the thing about the gaming public, is that there are people like myself and, you know, you guys and the guys on Off the Cuff that, you know, it's not necessarily what the game is. It's more about who's making the game. The sad thing is that the gaming public in general just cares more about the name on the box than who made it. And that is, I mean, that's one of the things that became evident with Arkham Origins. Because it still sold fairly well. It's just that people, you know, the average gamer bought it because it was an Arkham game, not because it was made by, you know, Rocksteady. And that happens with like Call of Duty and stuff like that too. It's just, so it'll be interesting to see what happens, though. I'm looking forward to it, because I am looking forward to more, like, you know, next gen only, you know, experiences. So
I would possibly get an Xbox One, but it would be eventually. I can't justify it at this point because it's so expensive.
And the PS4 would be more worth it than the Xbox One.
Yeah, true, but I don't.
It's one. It's cheaper, which means it'll get cheaper first.
True.
And it has all the same games, only they run better on the PS4.
Yeah, and you get to play them for free online.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
No, but when you do sign up, though, they give you one or two free games every month.
Hmm.
So there's that.
Well, that sucks. But
well, that just means it pays for itself, like, as soon as you buy it.
True.
That, and it's also cheaper than Live by like $10.
Hmm.
And if you get it on Black Friday, you can usually get it for $20.
Nice.
So, yeah, my wife and I, this Black Friday, Best Buy, actually pretty much anywhere, was running one year of PlayStation Plus for, I think it was like $20 when it's regularly like 50, but it was limit three. So when I was at Best Buy on Black Friday, I bought three. My sisters bought three each. So we ended up, we have 9 years of PlayStation Plus. And yeah, I think we paid, what was it? Like, I don't know how much money that is. $180 versus like 50 for all of it. So yeah, we came out pretty well on that. So we're set for PlayStation Plus.
Nice.
But anyways, yeah, that's all I have to say about that. And that's kind of, I said I'd record something for Off the Cuff this week, so there it is. There are still episodes coming for that. We're just too busy actually playing games now, so.
Eh, it happens. Good. This is kind of the one-stop shop for shows that are either on temporary hiatus for reasons that, like you said, playing games or things like the All Things Transformers that are going away, and we're covering a little bit of news on here.
Yeah.
Well, since the last, what were we up to now? The last 13 episodes of ATTF were not news-based. They're celebrating 30 years. It makes more sense to talk about the Transformer stuff here, like in the Blitz or something like that, or in the ATTF section, than it does to just do a specific news podcast on ATTF.
True. I guess we can cover just briefly the last week questions that I posed. What actor do you guys see playing the Joker if he's to be brought into the new DC cinematic universe?
Didn't we already have this question, like, back when we started?
It was brought up, but I re-asked it only for the fact that
we have listeners.
Well, that, and everybody's having the speculation jump at this point. And then I actually had a better idea of some of the people. And I think it was actually posed because one of the listeners asked the question again.
Hmm.
And yeah. Mike jumped in with, I think it should be Jack Nicholson, and I said no. Yes.
I know, it's wishful thinking, but the way I'm thinking of this is, I agree with you, Steve. I don't want to see the Joker right away. I don't even want to see the Joker five films into this new universe. I want to see him at the end of it, whenever this new DC universe, cinematic universe ends or whatever.
Before it reboots again?
Yeah. And what I would like to see is a combination Batman, you know, Bruce Wayne and Terry McGinnis facing off against Return of the Joker, and have Jack as an old Joker. I get it. He's 76 years old right now. I get it. He's probably not going to be around 9-10 years from now. Maybe. Who knows? You never know. I'm not trying to speak ill of the guy. But I'm just saying, like, I think Jack, even at 76 right now, could play a really good old Joker. Someone who is younger, who, you know, that's Hollywood's thing now. Oh, everybody has to be younger now. I honestly don't know. I don't know if I could pick a current actor to play him.
My choice, since I watch The Purge, is Rhys Wakefield.
I guess, go ahead.
No, I was. That's my choice.
That's creepy. One of my options, but I just watched the Hunger Games: Catching Fire, and one of the actors kind of had that look to him too, but he was more like, I don't know, more built, filled out. So but he had a lot of the same kind of like sarcasm and facial features and kind of. Can play the almost different wide range of emotions that I think the Joker could play. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know. I'm sorry, I do not know the gentleman that you were talking about. But if I'm sitting here and I'm actually really thinking about the portrayal that Rhys Wakefield gave in The Purge, I could not. I mean, facial expressions, I can see the Joker. Like, he's got the smile, but his mannerisms in The Purge, I could also see him, you know, actually doing the Riddler.
Yeah.
Which I'm wondering if, because I remember there was talk that Nolan didn't want to do the Riddler because it was too similar to the Joker's character. I'm wondering if the Riddler would be a way to go with this new, with the new cinematic universe, so that they wouldn't have to recast the Joker.
I would be down with that, actually, because they could play somebody that's, you know, just as kind of creepy, but in, but highly intelligent, kind of, against Batman instead of having the Joker, because they kind of have been killing Joker to death on every time Batman comes out.
I think what's interesting is, you know, you have the Riddler and you have the Joker. I think the Riddler's intelligent. I think that the Joker just doesn't give a flying, you know, what I'm trying not to say.
Yes.
I think that's the difference between the two characters. But I'm not saying the Joker is stupid by any means. I just think that, you know, one is intelligent and the other one just doesn't give an F.
No, I definitely get that. So I guess for the new questions for the week, before we just get brief media, since we talked about Arkham, what are your thoughts on the new Flash costume so far?
Well, given that here's the thing. The first image that they showed for the Flash was a doctored image. Like, it was meant to evoke a certain, like, wow, that's really cool looking, you know, because it was just the cowl from the side and it was like lit and kind of dramatically lit. It was definitely a, like, you know, that was definitely the way that the suit is meant to be seen, right?
Yeah.
And now you've got these, like, either they're spy photos or they're set visit photos that are just that. They're just photos. Like, they're not, you know, they're not color timed. They're not, like, they're taken out of context. They're not finished, like, photos of anything that's going on. So it's kind of like, I feel like anyone that is negative on the way that the suit looks is like, and this is kind of weird because you and I are kind of the only ones that I think agree on this, is that haven't you learned anything from the Green Lantern movie? Which is, yeah, the suit looked bad in the trailers, but it didn't look so bad in the movie. It was the mask that looked the worst.
Yeah, because that was CG.
I mean, you have to see how things play in context. I mean, you can look at it and go, oh yeah, that doesn't look, you know, it's not quite what I, actually, when I saw it, I was like, man, he's skinny.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting, you know, a little bit more broad shoulder, but
yeah, that's what I was expecting, someone that's a little more broad shouldered, or at least the suit to make him look or appear that way. And so I was just kind of like, all right, but then I had to remember the way that he looked in Arrow, which, you know, I was fine with him looking that way. So it's kind of like, I need to see what it looks like in context. I hate looking at photos and being like, that looks stupid. Because you know, the first photo that they show of Ben Affleck in the Batsuit is going to be a doctored image that is supposed to be the way it's going to be presented on film and not him walking around a park.
Yeah. Well, and then you may see some set photos, kind of like we did for The Dark Knight Rises, where he's just kind of walking around in the suit, and people are going to be like, that looks like crap.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you'll see the movie and be like, okay, it doesn't look as bad as it did. Like, I remember people being down about the, what do they call it? What was the stupid thing they called it? The bat? People thought the bat was retarded when they saw, like, the spy photos.
I mean, it does look a little strange, but I mean, again, it's out of context, so
it does look strange, but when you see it in the movie, it looks pretty cool. But when you see it in broad daylight, you know, through the lens of like a camera phone, it's kind of like, that looks like the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
But even for seeing the Flash costume, even without being doctored. Because I saw the helmet doctored first, just the side shot, before I saw the teaser image where he's kind of crouched down and there's lightning around him. Before I saw that image, there were the just kind of straight shots of him. And I saw those, and I was like, okay, it's got a little bit of the Arrow-esque kind of style to the costume.
In texture,
which is fine. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. The mask definitely, and part of the costume definitely screams Justice League Unlimited in aspects of it. But I honestly don't really have a problem with the costume. I think it's actually cool, and it's a nice rendition of. I mean, it could be worse. They could be, you know, giving him the foam muscles and making him look all bulky like the 90s version.
Yeah, I'm glad they went for it. Like, I'm actually glad it's like a suit, I guess, because even Arrow's not there yet. So.
No, they're still working their way towards it, and he just got the face mask or the eye mask. So. But it's
still waiting for him to get that. Still waiting for him to get that bitching goatee. But
yeah, I know. But yeah, it'll get there eventually. But it's
growing a little bit every episode.
Yeah, I know. Eventually, he's gonna end up being the recluse, kind of like Batman. But yeah, so I was kind of impressed with seeing it so far.
The Flash suit for me. At least the like the helmet of it, like the whole mask on his head, it reminds, and I hate to say this, but it reminds me of Daredevil a la 2003. As far as the red and how leathery it looks.
But it still looks better.
I'm not saying it looks bad. I'm saying the texture on it from what I've seen in these images, it just... It looks like, and it's just the, I guess technically you could call it a cowl, but it's not a cowl. But I mean, his whole head, it looks like an upgraded version of the Daredevil mask. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I like it. I'm just waiting for the Flash show. I'm really waiting on Arrow Season 2. I have not been watching it. Not that I don't want to, not that I don't enjoy it, but I just can't keep up with it. Right now, I just can't. I've got so much other stuff going on that I want to wait till I can actually get Season 2 on DVD, or, you know, wait till it hits Netflix where I can just marathon it.
It's so good.
I know it's very good. I've seen the promos. I know it's very good.
But yeah, I mean, I've been watching a lot of shows, and the sad thing is I've been actually able to keep up with them all, so...
I'm getting behind again.
I was getting behind, and like we just caught up on Once Upon a Time and Arrow. I've got to catch up on Blacklist still.
I'm glad
you brought that up.
I'm not. It's hard for me to get caught up on shows when I go into work on Saturday and it's like, you have 50 new TV shows. I'm like, what? And then I'm like, I don't even know where to start.
When I said I'm glad Steve brought that up, I meant about the Blacklist. Now, let me ask you, Mike. I know that recently you said you dropped it because you didn't find it that interesting. You don't really like the main character, Elizabeth Keen, and we both wish something horrible will happen to Tom. Have you seen the promos for this coming Monday's episode?
I've watched, I'm actually caught up with the show. I didn't drop it.
Okay.
It's still very much a train wreck show. And I do remember, I did pay attention to the end of the most recent episode where he confronts the, which I'm Joel assuming, Lane. Yes. If that pans out and they don't crap the bed with it, I may keep watching, because then at least I know he's just being he's just putting up a front.
Mm-hmm.
But if they crap the bed with it, then, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, I'm dropping your show. So, I mean, like I said on Twitter, on Facebook and stuff, I enjoy the show. I like the premise. I hate the female lead in that show. I just hate her. I hate the way that she is portrayed. I hate the fact that outside of her work, the biggest problems they can give her are whether or not she wants to start a family. Like, I don't know. That to me,
it's very two-dimensional.
It is very two-dimensional, and I just keep trying to look at it through the lens of what if the main character was a male and that was his dilemma? This would be the dumbest show on the planet. If it was a male for her role and he was torn between starting a family or, you know, going on this career, like establishing like manhunt, like that would be I there's no way I would watch that show. And so I'm watching this and I'm trying to watch it like as a gender neutral way, I guess, or something, but it just doesn't, I'm like, this is just not right. This is not good TV. And I just wish that I wish it wasn't the case that, you know, that was like the biggest problem we can give her when she's not at work is whether or not she's going to start a family.
But I think that was a character builder for her.
It didn't build the
character. And now they're, well, it's part of her character. It's part of her character building. And now that they've kind of basically put that to bed more recently, they're going to move on and,
I think, but that's
most
the thing.
Likely.
I feel like they put it to bed because I think a lot of people hated it.
Yeah.
And it's sad that it took, you know,
14 episodes.
Exactly. Like, if you take 14 episodes to right the ship, you've lost a lot of people.
Kind of like me on Breaking Bad, but anyway. But no, I mean, the way I saw it was, that's a part of her character building, and maybe now with this, the remaining X number of episodes till 15 till 22, these last 8 or 9 episodes, maybe they're going to show us her past, because we've all been, you know, seeing and speculating whether Red is her father or not. I think he is, because what other connection could he have to her that is that personal?
But why does that have anything to do? Why does Red and her relationship have anything to do with her wanting to start a family or not?
No, 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 no. What I'm saying is now that they've.
I understand. Trying to. Like, but you said it was part of like the character building stuff. I'm just saying, like, that has. It's like they just like.
What I mean is, it's, you know, through the first 14 episodes, we've learned more and more and more about her. And that was one aspect of it. And now that they've dropped it, we can move on and find out other things about her.
Yeah, I just wish we didn't have to go through that. that's all. I mean, and like I said, I'm still watching it. Like I said, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, I'm dropping your show.
Yeah, so. I'm still kind of waiting to see how it's going to turn out. I give it a season, and then if it's not improved, then I say so long, essentially.
Yes, I will say as like one last final note here that I hope the Blacklist doesn't go down the route that Revenge went down. Because Revenge for ABC, I thought that was only going to be once she gets rid of all these people, that's going to be it for her show. And I'm thinking the same thing here with the Blacklist. Well, once they eliminate all the members on Red's Blacklist, that's going to be it for the show. And Revenge in Season 3 more recently, it's taken a really, really weird turn. I'm hoping Blacklist does not take a really, really weird turn.
Well, I can't speak to that because I dropped Revenge.
When did you drop it?
Oh, geez, at the mid-season break.
From Season 3?
Yeah, at the mid-season for Season 3. I dropped it there because I was like, you know what? No, not happening. And then I recently dropped Revolution for the same reason. I don't know. Well, see, here's the thing with the Blacklist. They haven't really shown you anything about Red's list, like how many people are on his list. So that's something that can keep going for a long time. How boring or how tired that gets, that's what remains to be seen. So,
well, I think the level of villainy of the person, whatever person they're going after, I think that's what makes it exciting. I mean, something like the Stewmaker, I hadn't seen something that out there since the ill-fated CBS show now and again back in the late 90s with the Eggman.
Well, it's almost like mixing Silence of the Lambs with CSI.
Yeah.
That's called Hannibal, and it's much it's way better than The Blacklist. I'm just saying that right now. Hannibal is awesome.
But
Blacklist, it'll be interesting to see what happens with it. Maybe I've missed it. I know that there are like bits and pieces of like the arc, like the story arc for the season or for the show. And I know there are like different threads going on, like, you know, Red and Keen and, you know, will they, are they, won't they, you know, stuff like that. And and I know that there's the whole like Red is trying to figure out, you know, why this girl is now like why she's been stalking him.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a bigger picture thing going on? I just don't see it. Like I see lots of little threads. I just don't see the bigger picture. And maybe they just haven't revealed it yet. But like have they even revealed why Red decided to turn himself in yet?
No, they have not.
Okay, because I think that's the overarching thing that's going to, you know, probably make or break it for me.
There probably is, like, because that's the thing. With each blacklister, the criminal has a number, and I don't know what the numbers, I assume Red just went down 1 through 1 million or whatever the hell, and we see various numbers per case. As far as like, oh, this guy's number 57 on the blacklist because he attacked somebody with ketchup. Not really, but you know,
I don't see that episode.
It's one of those things.
The Lunchmaster.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think that by the end of the season, we will find out more about both Elizabeth's past and Red's past and what that is. And now I actually watch the episode follow-up on YouTube the day after new episodes air, called Beyond the Blacklist on the Blacklist's YouTube channel. And they basically have both the actors and the the producers and whatever else talk about what happened on the episode and kind of say, well, this is leading to this or that's leading to that. But yeah, nothing has really led to the final chapter.
Okay.
I guess switching gears. the other thing was, have you guys seen the latest episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.? The one with called Tahiti?
I'm still watching this show, unfortunately.
Okay. I didn't watch the one that's got the Thor crossover yet.
No, I haven't seen that one yet either.
But the Tahiti episode was quite interesting on what it revealed.
No, you can go ahead and spoil it for me because I don't care.
Have you watched it already?
No. I've watched it. Are we talking about we're spoilers here? Are we talking about the blue man?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your theory? Because I was trying to dig around and to find some stuff, and I found a really interesting message board that makes a lot of sense.
I was trying to figure out, I mean, for one, it was nice seeing him kind of figure all that out and then get spooked and everything. I couldn't figure out who the blue guy was, though, and it almost kind of gave me that Abin Sur DC Green Lantern kind of vibe.
You're not too far off.
so I was kind of like, that's almost eerily the same thing, but I was trying to figure out how that even related and how that was what kind of rebuilt him, like it did Sky, and why he said, don't give it to her.
Well, okay, I don't know why there's the don't give it to her part. I don't have, you know, the thread that I found didn't really have an answer for that yet. But if this pans out, this is actually kind of a big deal for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There is a character in the Marvel Universe. I don't know if he's in like the standard continuity or if he's just in the Ultimate I know he's in the 616 universe, but I think what they're drawing from is from the Ultimate Universe. There is a guy named Captain Marvel.
Okay.
His actual name is Mar-Vell. They just call him Captain Marvel to make it easier. He is a Kree.
Oh, okay.
And they are blue. There are a lot of people that think that that is him in the tank. That is Captain Marvel. And
all half of him?
Yes. And that in order to... Some people think that in order to save Coulson, they fused Mar-Vell and Coulson together. And they're the big twist here is that Skye is also Kree, or Skye would also be Kree and would be like Mar-Vell's daughter, which would be why Coulson feels such a strong pull towards her.
Huh.
Now that is kind of far-fetched. It sounds kind of far-fetched to me until you get down to like some nitty gritty stuff. The serum that they had was called GH23.
Yeah.
Mar-Vell's actual name is, I'm going to butcher this, is Geharenis Halasan. So, GH.
Aren't the Kree and the Skrulls basically the same thing?
No.
They're warring factions.
Yeah. Oh, that's, okay. So maybe
I know enough to realize that. But
and the Kree cannot shapeshift, and the Skrulls can. But here's the interesting thing is who Fox, I believe, has the rights to the Skrulls.
Is that because it's Fantastic Four?
Yes. Now, I don't know who has the rights to the Kree. And as far as I know, they didn't use the Kree. They used the Centauri in Avengers because they didn't have the Kree or the Skrulls. I think it was because they didn't have the Skrulls.
Yeah. Because usually the Skrulls are hanging around with Thanos, aren't they?
Yes and no.
The only reason why I say that is because I remember that's what part of the Skrulls and Superhero Squad show they were hanging around with Thanos.
See, things get kind of wishy-washy with rights, especially when it's like, what do you actually have the rights to? It's like, so does Marvel have the rights to use, like, you know, the X-Men characters, like, on TV? You know, like I know there's, like, cinematic rights, but that doesn't mean that just because you have, like, Fox has the film rights to the X-Men and to Fantastic Four, that doesn't mean that they necessarily have the TV rights. Like, Marvel might still have the TV rights, so Marvel can use whatever characters they want on the small screen.
Well, yeah, because Wolverine, voiced by Steve Bloom, was in Superhero Squad, and there was Wolverine and the X-Men, and Fox still had the movie rights. So, yeah, there's probably two different...
And you have to look at it like, well, one of those mediums, you know, you've got the live action movie and you have live action TV, you know, maybe they have like the same rights, and that's why like animated stuff is different, you know, like I don't know the breakdown of this stuff. I don't even know where you could find the breakdown of this stuff, but I didn't know who the blue guy was, and I was like, this has to be something important. So I just kind of did a quick little Google search, and this was the most interesting sounding thread, especially because it opened up the Marvel universe to a, you know, much bigger thing, especially with Guardians of the Galaxy just around the corner. So
that could kind of almost explain what this is.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what it actually turns out to be. Given that it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it'll probably turn out not to be as cool as this.
Yeah, kind of like how the Coulson reveal was.
The Coulson reveal was cool, except everyone knew it was coming. I wish there was a way that they could have, like, covered that up so everyone could have been in on the whole welcome to sections, or welcome to level 7. Like, I wish they could have kept that a secret.
Yeah.
I was just hoping it was an LMD already.
Meh.
I was really hoping for the life model decoy.
I didn't think he died. Even when I watched Avengers, I didn't think he died.
Well, they never actually showed him actually die.
No. And Fury is notoriously a dick, as we've talked about before. So
And the show proved it.
I never believed him to be dead. And the show continues to show Fury as being a dick by not engaging with Coulson. So
Well, it looks like the alien should that kind of alien anyway should be in Guardians of the Galaxy for sure, so.
well, there is a Kree in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's actually in the trailer because I think he's one of the cosmic entities. I just can't remember his name. He's like something the Destroyer or something like that. But man, that movie looks good. Anyways.
So, yeah. I guess jumping into some other brief stuff. Since you weren't here last week, what are your thoughts on the Transformers Age of Extinction stuff that they've revealed so far?
I'm in. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen. Here's. I don't really think I've ever seen a bad Transformers trailer. But I'm not, a diehard Transformers fan, like you guys are. And I just went into the movies expecting, giant robots and explosions, and that's exactly what I got. I will say, the second one is the weakest of the three that we've gotten so far. I'm very interested to see what, the fourth one. And I think what's interesting is that maybe I could be wrong, but this might be the first Transformers trailer. I mean, yeah, sure, the name tells you like some stuff, and the trailer does show you that like the Dinobots are in it and stuff like that. But when you're watching that trailer, and this is actually becoming more and more of a thing as far as I've been able to tell recently, they're not really telling you very much about the movies.
Which is a good thing.
No, that is a good thing. But I hear a lot of people like they're watching that trailer and they're just like, I have no idea what's going on. And it's like, well, okay. And like 3 years ago when the last Transformers movie came out and you saw the trailer and it gave everything away, you were mad. But now you're mad that it doesn't tell you anything except for show you some really cool shit. And come on. He can't win.
I'm just glad that they aren't showing as much because it entices people to want to see it more so than if they see all the good parts in the trailer. So if nothing else, even if you hate the movie when you go see it, you still want to see it.
I just think it looks.
I think this looks awesome though.
I'm interested to see what the. I don't know that they'll really have anything like this. And again, the trailer doesn't really hint at this in any way. I'm wondering what the retcon history is going to be. Like the first one, they kind of retconned the Hoover Dam into being a something that was built to hide the Allspark.
Allspark. Yep.
And the second one was, it wanted to have something, and then it crapped the bed. The third one, it was the moon landing. I'm wondering if there's going to be something like that in this movie. I mean, if there isn't, that's fine. But the movie better be freaking awesome if it doesn't.
Well, I do know that from the trailer that I did see for Age of Extinction, that it does, even though thankfully Shia is nowhere near it, it does follow the storyline from Dark of the Moon because there was part of the trailer where it said, remember Chicago.
Oh,
So,
absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, there is some continuity. This isn't a straight on Transformers reboot, which is a good thing, but I like that they're going in this new direction. I'm thankful they have new and different and better actors. What I'm more interested in is to see, number one, if Michael Bay has any sense at all and gets Greg Berger to do the voice, and if Grimlock transforms. Now, in the trailer, we've only seen Grimlock in T-Rex mode. My buddy Scotty Cash, who does from the command center with me here on GCRN, sent me a picture this morning as we recorded this, or as we're recording this now, of an eBay listing from his phone of some movie-looking toy that's Grimlock-based that obviously he has a robot mode. So I'm really interested now about Age of Extinction to see if all the Dinobots have robot modes.
Well, that's I agree with everything that you said. I'm glad too that I understand it is a continuation and it's set a few years down the road, and that it's interesting that the Transformers are all now wanted. And isn't it really interesting that the humans have all of a sudden found a way to actually combat the Transformers, to be able to hunt them down, which is something they couldn't do in the first three movies on their own? Anyways.
Well, I mean that's always been a contention with the humans and the Transformers in all of the movies so far, is how do the humans not know how to track them?
Well, no, it's not about how to. I don't really care about the tracking part. It's they'd never seen. They knew how to defend themselves from them from the first movie, and then they fail at it for the next two. Like, what are you talking about? You don't need them. You know how to hunt them down and destroy them. And that just completely gets like washed under the table in both the second and the third movie. And it's kind of interesting to see that, it's kind of, it might take place off screen, but it's interesting to see that may have come back into play between the third and fourth movie. But yeah, like I said, for me, the most interesting part was like the retcon history of the past three movies. So I'm just interested to see if they even try to do that in this, or if they're going to forego that altogether just for something just really cool. So
I was really happy with, and I mentioned this last week, I don't think it's going to be the full-on style of Optimus the whole film, but in that trailer, I was so happy when he was hiding out, he was in his G1 cab. I thought that was great.
The Mack truck.
And the thing is that Mark Wahlberg, while he's working on him, he says, I think we have a Transformer here. And because he's repairing it, because he just finds it laying out somewhere. And I think that the interesting thing is that they're pulling from the G1 Marvel comics, almost. Just in that sense. And in a lot of how they're portraying some of the various aspects. Even the Dinobots were brought in at the beginning of the Marvel run. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
I mean, I know I'm going to see it day one, so it doesn't even matter.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, that's the same thing with me, so.
Yeah, I'm going to as well. I really want to see that film.
We should go together, Steve.
Hey, that sounds like a plan.
All right.
I love it when a plan comes together. moving on from that, kind of wanted to talk the sequels/remakes category. There's, as you may see in the various media news, there's rumors of like Saw 8, which is completely unwarranted considering they tied it up in 7, or Jason Sudeikis. Yeah. They tied it up.
Don't get me wrong, I love the Saw movies, but there is a, or did they?
Yeah, I know. But they killed off everybody but the guy that cut his own foot off in the first film.
You said, but the guy.
Yeah. But he was the one doing all the legwork, so to speak. Nice pun. I don't know if I agree with that. Bringing it back again.
No.
And then there's Jason Sudeikis becoming Fletch.
I don't know about that.
I'm not familiar enough with Fletch to have an opinion.
Well, it's based on a set of books, but Sudeikis is slated to replace Chevy Chase.
I know that. I'm just... Is this kind of like a... I'm just throwing this out there for comparison's sake. Is this kind of like Sean Connery's like James Bond to like Daniel Craig's James Bond? I mean, could it be kind of the, I mean, could it be the same thing? Like you've got, you know, you've got the Chevy Chase, you know, Fletch, but I mean, do you think that is the Jason Sudeikis Fletch, is it like a continuation of the Chevy Chase movies, or is it like, you know, there it's like the Daniel Craig James Bonds?
It's like a reboot.
So yeah. Okay,
it's supposed to be not as comedic as the first two that Chevy Chase was in, which was Fletch and Fletch Lives, and then Fletch One. I guess he was supposed to do it in the late 90s for whatever reason, and it got caught up in production hell, and then Warner Brothers got it in 2011. So,
well, and I honestly, you know, this is one of those times where I'm happy that it is somebody else. Like, I love the first two Fletch movies because it is Chevy Chase. And I know I'm kind of flip-flopping here because I said that Jack wasn't too old to play the Joker, but Chevy is way too old to be playing Fletch now.
Is that because it's action?
No, just because I think he's a little bit too old to do the role now. If it's more action-oriented, fine. No one is going to come close to the comedy he did in the first two films.
Well, I like him in basically everything he's been in.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that natural presence that I like him. So I can kind of see him carrying it.
I mean, I'll say this, and I say this about all the remakes and all the reboots that we get. Just because, you know, this, you know, the Fletch One is the reboot. It also means that you're going to get, like, you know, a digitally restored version of the original Fletch movies. So,
oh yeah.
I mean, be thankful for that. I mean, you might not like this one, but at least your stuff is going to get new life. So, true. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it happened with, you know, everyone, you know, the RoboCop just recently came out in the theater, and, you know, I saw it in the theater. I saw the new one. I actually liked the new one. But, you know, what came out of that too is that, you know, I got my 4K remaster of the original RoboCop. So, and probably wouldn't have really gotten that if it hadn't been for the new movie. So,
true.
Yep. And I guess finally rounding out some of the news. Did you see Captain America and Batman vs. Superman are going to be, or Captain America 3 and Batman vs. Superman are going to come out on the same day?
I've heard. Okay. This is
or
what
supposedly.
I've, yeah. Supposedly. This is what I've heard, is that there is an untitled Marvel movie project coming out on the same day. There's also talks that the Captain America 2 is supposedly the best Marvel movie that has ever been made. It's being words like on the level of The Dark Knight are being thrown around. They have signed Chris Evans to 6 more pictures. And they've also signed the guy that plays the Winter Soldier. I can't remember his name, but I do like that actor. They've signed him to 9 more movies. Marvel obviously thinks they have a hit on their hand. And the problem is, you know, it's not going to be Thor, because Thor is usually November. It could definitely be Captain America 3. But, wait a minute. Avengers 2 is 2015, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, never mind that. That was dumb. It'll probably be Captain America 3. For some reason, I was thinking Avengers 2 was this year, but I don't know why. And so
no,
I was kind
of Ultron is next year,
right? But I was just kind of like I thought for half a second I thought it was this year, and I'm thinking, you know, why 2 years from now? Why couldn't it be Avengers 2 or Avengers 3? I mean, coming up against, you know, Batman versus Superman.
So. I don't know. I glanced over this briefly. I don't think it was from one of the fluff sites like the Stupid Onion or anything like that, but I read somewhere that Evans wanted to take a break from acting.
Yeah, but he just signed 6 more pictures, so apparently if you throw enough money at somebody, they'll do something, unless you're Christian Bale.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid on his behalf.
Or was it smart?
I'm still more excited to see Ben Affleck as Batman than I was about Christian Bale as Batman.
I'm fine with Ben Affleck being it. I just wish it had been, especially after Man of Steel. Man of Steel is very much, it looks like it could be set in the Dark Knight world. And I just felt like, you know, Bale would have been a natural progression, but we talked about that like 31 episodes ago. So.
Yep. Yeah. So
I'm over it.
I am too. I just want to see him in the damn costume.
Yep, exactly.
That'll never happen. You'll never see Ben Affleck in the bat suit. It'll be entirely CG, just like it was in Daredevil.
Canceled.
No, there were scenes in Daredevil that wasn't CG, that he was in the suit.
No, you're wrong. Watch it again.
When he pulled the mask off, and when he went to go get into his sensory deprivation tank, that was not CG.
I'm joking with you.
Yeah, exactly.
He knew it'd get your goat.
Uh-huh.
You Daredevil lover, you.
I thought there was enough sarcasm in my vote, in my voice.
No, not really.
They CGI'd Ben Affleck's face on a body double.
Nice.
Ben Affleck never actually showed up for that movie.
Yeah, and then Kevin Conroy does the voice of Batman. Because they don't want him having a Boston accent. I'm screwing with Mike now.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll take a quick break and come back after to
I don't talk think about... he'll be here.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Bye.
10 minute blitz.
10 minute blitz.
10 minute blitz.
10 minute blitz.
All right, we're back with the Blitz. So, let me set the timer, which takes just a minute. Or two. All right. I moved one of the news articles down, so that's just FYI. It was pertinent, so.
Start with that one, then.
Alrighty. All right, we'll be starting in 3, 2, 1. Alrighty, CBS sets mega 3-season renewal for The Big Bang Theory. What do you have to say about that, sir?
Okay, so people will hear later in the afternoon on this day that this podcast goes up, they will hear GCR episode 60, where we reveal the first annual GCRN Awards. And Movie Revolt Dan and I get into an argument about whether The Big Bang Theory is funny or not. They're currently on, what, season 7?
Yes.
So, 3 more years, season 10. So, they're aiming to have this show for 10 seasons, okay? I understand it. I get it. People think it's low comedy. It's for the lowbrow people. But see, when I see, like, oh, that's just comedy for the lowest common denominator. When I don't think of myself as the lowest common denominator. I think of myself as someone who, you know, is told a joke, and if I laugh, I think it's funny. The joke doesn't have to be a sophisticated story for me to find it funny. And it doesn't have to be just, you know, a dick and a fart joke, or it doesn't have to be, oh, well, you know, there's $50 in Green Lantern's ass every now and then. You know, it doesn't have to be that. The Big Bang Theory, to me, I've been watching the show since season one. Yes, I admit it, in the beginning, some of the characters were very annoying. And some of them weren't. Sheldon, he's grown over time, and as I said in the GCR episode, and I only said this to kind of really irk people, the Big Bang Theory to me is the comedy version of Breaking Bad, where it's taken 7 seasons for Sheldon to grow, for him to, as a character, grow out of the norms that he has, you know, instilled in himself. You know, he's, by season 7, he's now dating full-time Amy Farrah Fowler. They've kissed, you know, they've played Dungeons and Dragons with some highly sexual overtones. they didn't play Dungeons & Dragons properly, according to Michael Dodd, as far as the gameplay and what would be done, but it doesn't matter. It's a comedy. As far as it getting three more seasons, I'm all for it, because I think all of the characters have grown these last seven seasons. I mean, Leonard from season one is nothing like Leonard now in season
seven. Well, none of them are the same, and I think that's the key thing, is that they've all evolved as the series has gone on and as people have been added to the cast, growing into the characters. But I myself don't have a problem with it hitting three more seasons. Oh. I just hope that they have the sense to end it while it's still in its prime.
Yeah.
Before it becomes Two and a Half Men.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because that one's actually still on a year-to-year season renewal at this point, which, to me, I think that show should just be canceled. And the guy that's created this and Two and a Half Men, created the Chuck Mike Lord. And Molly and Mom, all of his shows have been renewed. But Two and a Half Men, I honestly think, should be canceled. But Big Bang Theory, I'm glad that it's being brought on for more. It's just whether they can keep all the cast wrangled down that long. But again, none of them are really doing anything else, so I guess it doesn't really matter to them.
Well, see, here's the thing about the Big Bang Theory cast. If you really want to say that there are big names in that cast, that would be Kaley Cuoco and what's her name? Oh, God.
Well, the only three that are highest paid are Leonard, Sheldon, and Penny.
Right. But what I'm saying is, as actors and actresses, Kaley Cuoco and Mia Bialik, Blossom, Amy Farrah Fowler, those are the real two name grabbers, because Kaley came from Eight Simple Rules. As I said, Mia Bialik was Blossom.
Yeah, but that was early 90s, so that is...
Right, that no, I know. Permit. Right, yeah. And Johnny Galecki, I mean, he's been around for years. Yeah, I mean, he started on Roseanne.
Christmas Vacation.
Yep, he was young Rusty in Christmas Vacation. So, I mean, I can see that. What I'm wondering is if... I wonder how they deal with the budget for the guest stars. Because they've had some pretty incredible guest stars.
They've even said that the show's such a cash cow between like Warner Brothers and CBS and everything that they just, it doesn't matter. They just pretty much throw the money. It's just...
Yeah, that's true.
It's syndicated on like eight different stations, so...
Yeah.
It's banking.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. I think it needs to end on a. I think it won't just turn stupid like Two and a Half Men did.
Well, no, there's too much intelligence and it's geek culture. So,
yeah, and it's not just making fun of geeks. It's not just making fun of geek culture. Sure, in the first couple of seasons it was, but I mean these men and women on the show are really interested in the things that they're interested in, and they have, as I said, have had a lot of character development. I'm hoping if and when they do end the season or the series that something big happens with Sheldon and Amy, or something big happens with Leonard and Penny. We've already seen character development in Howard. He's moved out of his mother's house. He's gotten married. Raj, after I think it was six or seven seasons,
the beginning of the seventh season, he can talk to women.
Yeah, beginning of the seventh. Yeah. That's how they cliffhangered it in season six. He talked, and then oh crap, we have to wait till the fall. And by season seven, he could actually talk to women now. So there is slow character development. In the later seasons, I don't see as much, poking fun at the geek culture or geeks in general as it was maybe in the first couple of seasons. I will say one of my favorite episodes is the staircase episode where Leonard tells Penny that the story of how the elevator broke.
Yeah, but anyways, that's a show for another day. We've gone entirely too long on that.
Where's your timer, dummy?
Well, I didn't get to speak if it were going to the timer.
Oh.
So I was going to cover it, but I figured Mike didn't want to talk Big Bang Theory. He doesn't watch it because it's got a laugh track. Which that laugh track is like, it sounds robotic when I listen to it, so it's weird. At least on my station that I watch it on. So, but so we'll get into the next one. There is a Transformers Collector Club custom of Rampage.
Yeah. It looks small and odd.
Yeah, you're just reading it.
No, I'm saying, yeah, I am reading it, but I'm also saying it looks small and odd, and it's basically Transformers Prime Megatron body with a Rampage head.
Yeah, the head should have definitely been a little bigger. But I'm definitely a fan of the Protoform X body.
Oh, yeah. No, I like that.
I think that that's supremely cool how they did that. Funny thing is that actually looks like how he looked in the Beast Wars episode.
Mm-hmm.
So that was such a perfect mold that they could have used for that.
Yes, it was.
Alrighty, so that's a nice quick one. Did you see the Batman meets Iron Man high-tech armor?
Yeah, no.
Oh, come on, it's cool. I'm not saying he should actually have it, but...
It looks like, yeah, no,
it looks like G.I. Joe armor.
No! This is not Batman or Iron Man whatsoever.
Whoever labeled this was an idiot.
Yeah.
It looks like the Rise of Cobra, like, or Cobra Trooper.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rise of Cobra.
Yeah. It looks like in that first picture where it's face to face, where they're facing off, it looks like a robotic Snake Eyes. If Snake's suit was robotic or armorish, that's what it reminds me of is Snake Eyes. But it just does no.
It almost looks like the BATs.
Yeah. A little bit. I think if it was a lighter shade of gray with a little bit more black in it, like instead of being solid black or solid dark gray, I might enjoy it better as far as a Batman armor suit, but...
Well, they show it with red and black and the sixth image, yeah. But...
No,
I'm not... whoever labeled it Batman meets Iron Man was kind of dumb. They should have just called it the BAT Cobra armor.
Because
that's what it looks like. But it does look kind of neat, though.
Yup.
That's how they're going to be beating our asses when the government takes over.
Pacific Rim style.
Yeah. Here, take it.
Yep.
Alrighty. So, wow, that was timing.
Yeah.
I love this thing right here. It's the... fully functional keyboard made entirely out of Legos.
I don't know how that would work. I don't mean technically how you could press the keys and it would work. I mean, I'm the type of person, ladies and gentlemen, that I've bought the same keyboard the last 5 years. And I've made sure I could still buy a new version or the same version of the one that I've bought the last 5 years if I need to replace it. And my keyboard has a giant wrist rest built into it. And I have it, propped up with the little legs on it. And I love this keyboard. Looking at this Lego keyboard, I don't know how that could be functional for me personally. As far as being able to use it for gaming or for typing or for anything. It looks cool.
Oh, I'm not saying I'd actually own one. I'm just saying that that's really, really neat how it looks and that the fact that it actually works.
Yeah.
took somebody a lot of time. Let's just put it that way.
Yep.
So, jumping into the last bit that we have here for the Blitz, the new Batmobile is finished and could appear at the San Diego Comic-Con.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's great.
I really want to see it.
I'm really hoping it's a mixture of either BTAS style or Batman Beyond. I know it won't be Batman Beyond, but still. Yeah, I'm interested. I kind of got over the Tumblr after a while, and I'm hoping they'll go for a more, like, classic look than the Tumblr.
I'm hoping that they go with, as myself and Booth Ninja discussed in the past, the almost BTAS Cadillac.
Yep.
I'm really hoping for that. So that's what I really want to see them do. If not, I'd like to see some kind of a, like, maybe the Arkham Asylum version. Because it's kind of a mesh of multiple Batmobiles.
I would actually like to see, now that I'm thinking about it, I know it probably won't happen, but I forget which issue it was in. I think it was Batman 14 or 15. I'd like to see the new 52 Batmobile that Greg Capullo has designed in the Batman ongoing. It's similar to the BTAS design, but a combination of that or the BTS design, I don't know. I'm just happy with anything but the Tumblr at this point.
I like the Tumblr. I like the functionality of it. I just don't like the design.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of fine if they go in a different direction.
I hope if they're going to set the Batmobile up in Batman versus Superman, or Superman versus Batman, whatever you want to call it, if they set it up in that film, that they don't destroy it in that film and then give him another Batpod for the next two or three or four films.
I don't think they'll go that route.
Well, let's hope not.
So. But yeah, I think that about does it this week. Sorry for not getting to the listener comments. We tried to reply on the website this week a little bit more. As always, please leave feedback. We appreciate it, and we try to get back to it. We will cover something different next week. Hopefully not Batman, unless it's an actual costume or Batmobile release.
I don't think we're going to get that until San Diego Comic-Con. Honestly, if they're going to reveal the Batsuit, or Affleck in the Batsuit, I'm hoping they would wait until the major convention.
I'm hoping so as well. So I think next week we should talk the new shows coming to TV for 2014.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of interested in doing research on them anyhow, and it'll give us an opportunity to kind of maybe create our own maybe top list of what we think will be good for the year, and what we're looking forward to, and what shows we might be dropping, or which ones we think may get canceled or something like that. So next week I think we'll be a lot less heavy on the media, and I think a lot heavier on the discussion on the TV shows area.
Very cool, very cool.
So, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Alrighty, thanks as always for joining us here on Altered Geek Unlimited. You can contact us in the following ways. You can call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. You can send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can visit the episode post at geekcastradio.com. You can also contact us on Facebook by searching GeekCast Radio Network. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio, #AlteredGeek. You can find us in iTunes by searching GeekCast Radio Network or by searching Altered Geek. Please leave us feedback. We'd love to get feedback. As a matter of fact, we got some last month, about a month ago exactly, actually, from Jeremy Fine, who says, another witty banter of geekness with Steve Megatron Phillips and TFG1 Mike. It almost looks like TFGI, I think it is. It's like the shuffle option on your MP3 player. Great conversations, great cast all around. Wonderful addition to the GCRN. 5 stars. Thank you very much, sir. So, you can contact myself at SCP21, and you can get a hold of Mike Powers at BoothNinja81, and your Twitter is, sir?
TFG1Mike.
So, as always, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.